Welcome to the Jennings Wire online magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with our bloggers, as well as other top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman. I'm joined by the one and the only Annie Jennings of the national PR firm, Annie Jennings PR, and creator of the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a community of bloggers that share their personal experiences and wisdom gained throughout their lives. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. Today's guest is Yehuda Kagan of X-Van Technology Corporation, a cloud computing company that enables clients to work uninterrupted through natural disasters. Yehuda spearheaded X-Van Technology's efforts to educate business leaders on the disaster preparedness benefits of the cloud through the business-focused ebooks, white papers, webinar series, and cloud computing tools that he developed. We'll be talking with Yehuda today about the steps businesses can take to develop a successful disaster preparedness plan. One of the first things I would like to define for our listeners who may not be as technologically savvy as yourself is what is the cloud exactly?
Yeah, cloud computing is just a fancy word for the internet. Any way to store, manage, or run data over the internet.
Where you can have access to it, right, from all different types of devices.
Correct. So rather than being chained to your specific workstation or laptop, you can access it through the internet. Either you can, back it up or store it. There are different ways to utilize the internet, and certainly there are different cloud models. It's called a cloud because, back in the day, network engineers or IT engineers would, map out their systems, their infrastructure, and when they were trying to describe how disparate systems connect to one another, specifically over the internet, they'd make this nice little bubbly circle-looking thing, which actually looked like a cloud. So it's very much a misnomer, but that's what stuck. So that's what we're dealing with. Actually, when we started, we called it utility computing, and
the reason why
we called that is because it's analogous nature to any utility, electricity or water utility, where you don't have to invest in the infrastructure; you just kind of pay as you go.
What is the first step for small businesses so that they could be prepared for these types of disasters?
Well, obviously, just like anything else, you got to have a plan, and it seems like an obvious step, but the clearer your objectives, the easier it is to gauge the success of the plan. And so, a good rule of thumb is the first 24 hours is for saving lives, second 24 hours is for saving data, and the third 24 hours is ensuring accessibility to data. So you have to have your priorities in place, certainly, but the first step is definitely start with a plan. And don't worry about perfecting it the first time. It's always going to be a fluid process based on experiences, and hopefully there aren't any experiences. But when I say experiences, I mean testing. Disaster plan, you can look good on paper, but in actuality, it has to work as well. So definitely test that. Develop the plan, test the plan, and refresh and revise as necessary.
Right. And now what should be included within that plan itself?
Well, there are a few things. First, you want to put together the team leadership, because you want to know who's going to have the authority to make key decisions, such as transitioning the company to an alternate workplace, assigning roles, et cetera. You want to have copies of your organization chart and the people that need to be contacted, and certainly communication is key. So what I would recommend is certainly having laminated copies of contact lists for each employee to keep in his or her wallet or purse. Then the second step would be to assess and manage the risks of disaster. So in other words, what would be the potential risk of, let's say, a tornado or a hurricane? What could possibly happen, and what resources do we have internally to help mitigate those risks? And then once you've ascertained, what those risks are and what probability of those risks are, then you start putting together the plan, taking inventory, things like servers, workstations, routers, switches, general office supplies, backup, power supply, air conditioning, heaters, physical files, external disks and hard drives and things of that nature, and then establish offsite data backup and things of that nature, alternate means of operation, et cetera.
Right, right. And so you mentioned you need to test this. How often should you test it to test the process?
Yeah, I would do it, you know, at the very least, probably at least twice a year. I would do that. You know, try to do it quarterly because things change, especially data. You know, according to many sources, about, you know, 75% or three quarters of companies that test their backups found some sort of failure with the data backup. So it's critical for a disaster preparedness plan to be regularly tested, and that should include data backup and restoration as well. So you can't just, you know, what would happen, you know, let's say, God forbid, if something were to incapacitate the office, including the computers. So if the data is backed up offsite, that's great, but how long, what's the recovery interval? And in other words, how long would it take to restore those systems or replace those systems, retrieve the backup, and then restore it and make sure that it's all integrated properly? And so that has to be tested and timed, really, see how, you know, and of course, you know, you want to also test how swiftly you can get employees out of harm's way. And I don't think that should be tested more than, once a year. But, you know, it's certainly, you know, you should have some sort of drill for that in the event that that may become necessary.
Do you think that it's a good idea for small businesses to consider outsourcing this disaster preparedness and planning?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes. I mean, you know, always, I mean, you always have to look at, you know, again, the risks and the rewards versus the rewards. I think it should be outsourced in certain cases. And then, of course, again, it goes back to the risk assessment. But I think data should be backed up regularly off-site. As far as, you know, we're talking in a general case, but from an IT standpoint, I think certainly it should be, I believe so, in most cases, unless you have a really robust system that has a what we call a hot site. In other words, you can instantly switch over to a totally separate or redundant or duplicated IT infrastructure system immediately. And most small businesses don't have those kind of resources. So that being the case, I would recommend, based on your risk assessment, you know, having some sort of outsourcer in place. But, you know, it doesn't mean you shouldn't necessarily just jump into outsourcing just because, you know, there's certainly the due diligence that one has to do.
Well, right. And what is that diligence? I mean, what's the best way to find a good quality outsourcing partner for this disaster recovery planning?
Yeah, well, certainly, again, you tie it back to your, you know, what the business objectives and what you're trying to achieve and your risk assessment. But, you know, if I were to outsource for data backup specifically, I would first ask, and we mentioned this briefly, what is your recovery interval? You know, how long would it take for you to restore business operations as usual? You know, there are some backup solutions, or many backup solutions, actually. So they can back up your data, but, you know, not all of them are responsible for the restoration of the data. So who's responsible for the data restoration, and how long does that typically take? You know, that's another question you want to ask. And then you ask, you know, do they ask them if they document their backup procedures, and how often do they test their backup plan? And, you know, in times of emergency, especially, and you can certainly ask, you know, where they are geographically. You know, what are staffing levels in an emergency, and, you know, where is the data stored? And that is key, not only from a, let's say, a compliance standpoint, because certain industries and sectors are tied down to certain compliance, like Sarbanes-Oxley, Gramm-Leach-Bliley, HIPAA for healthcare. And, you know, a lot of those regulations require that the data stay on shore, on the shores of the United States or whatever their country is. And so you want to know, where is the backup being data being stored? And above and beyond that, you want to ask, do they outsource? So let's say, you know, you're dealing with a, you know, let's say, quote unquote, backup recovery solution. Are they outsourcing it to others? And you want to know who's going to be, where essentially is your data going to be down the road?
Right.
And you want to ask those questions and then do due diligence on those vendors. So, yeah,
right,
you,
because
I would.
What happens What happens when, if something happens to them, right? Do they back up your backup?
Oh, yeah, typically they should. And then that's what he said, you know, how do you document your backup procedures?
Yeah.
How is it backed up? How many versions back can I get of the same data? You know, things of that nature. Sometimes people think of disasters as either a terrorist attack or a hurricane or a natural disaster. But in reality, you know, a lot of the disasters are on a smaller scale, but they're significant. You know, someone crashed a server or there's a virus that just, you know,
mm-hmm.
took down the entire system. And so you got to go back to the most recent version of the data. And how many times can you go back, you know, to that, you know, how many versions can you go back? Let's say data becomes corrupt through a downed power line or a surge or something to that effect. So you have to keep that in mind as well that, you know, people think, well, you know, what's the likelihood of a terrorist attack or something like that? And but you know, in reality, a lot of you have to also think of the smaller scale. I mean, we had someone that asked us, you know, what would happen if one of your servers go down? And we told him, you know, we have redundancies in place. And, you know, and he said, well, what happens if that, you know, your whole data center goes down? And I said, well, you know, for that, we actually have a redundant duplicate data center in another geographical location. He said, well, what happens if the whole region is, nuked by a bomb and, you know, both of those data centers are down? I said, well, to be honest, data might not be your biggest problem at that point.
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I mean,
but
you
again,
may
and that goes back to your risk assessment.
It, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So that goes back to your risk assessment. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now, what is for small business out there? How do they actually do this? Right. Like we're talking about outsourcing, doing all that. How do you actually do? Do you have an example of a successful disaster preparedness plan that you can share with our listeners?
Sure. So let's say. You know, what I would do is, you know, a lot of times you'll have a cloud, and I'm speaking from a cloud computing perspective because, you know, I might be a little biased. So, you know, please forgive me for that. But let's say you use a cloud vendor and it can be used as a framework around which to create a disaster plan. So, for example, you know that you can access your data from anywhere in the world using a cloud system. And so that being the case, you don't have to worry about the safety of your servers, the safety of, you know, the security of those servers, you know, backing up. That's all taken care of. So now you can focus on priority number one, which is your people, and then, you know, priority number, the safety of your people and the, you know, alternate work sites. And so an example is we had once, we have one of our clients is sells high-end diamonds over the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're based in Houston, Texas, which is, you know, you might say that's disaster prone. But again, you know, we talk about that. That could be anywhere. But we're based in Houston, Texas. But, you know, they do business all around the world. And so as callous as it may sound, you know, their potential clients could care less if there's a hurricane, you know, barreling towards, you know, the Gulf Coast of the United States. You know, they'll just go to another, you know, alternate provider of high-end diamonds. And so they didn't have to make that decision of, you know, whether to keep our doors open and put people in harm's way or, you know, potentially lose clients by closing our doors. So what they did essentially was, you know, using a cloud system as a backbone, they sent their people to higher ground and they had planned this previously, an alternate work site, and they essentially worked, virtually under, you know, a virtual roof, essentially using the cloud because they were able to access their data and they were able to collaborate with one another via, you know, the cloud. So, and that's why we're big believers in the cloud because it allows such, such flexibility and certainly scalability as the, you know, depending on the length of the disaster period.
What would you like to leave? What message would you like to leave with our listeners before we wrap up the call?
Well, I kind of touched upon that earlier, and really it is to have a plan. And a lot of people, when they talk about disaster planning, first of all, you know, certainly we talked about them having that preconceived notion that it won't affect them at all. Don't make that assumption certainly. But you know, once they've gotten past that, they see this, you know, disaster planning as a really daunting undertaking, especially. So what I would do is, like I said, you know, start simple, and revise your plan over time. It's always going to be a fluid process anyway, and you know the time will never be perfect, you know, to put together that plan. So start now. You know, think about the things that you need most, and then work down from there. It could save you so much more time down the road. And you know, certainly we've seen what's going on lately with, you know, with Oklahoma and those people. And you know, God bless anybody who's been affected by them, by that. But and you know, we wish them the best. But you know, first and foremost, again, I'll go through that one more time. The first 24 hours, a good rule of thumb, the first 24 hours is the safety of your people. I mean, and if it takes longer than that, then dedicate longer, you know, that time to them. And then, it's, you know, the safety of the data, and then it's the accessibility to the data. And then work back from there, you know, based on your priorities.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Yehuda, for an informative interview. To find out more about Yehuda Kagan and Xvand Technology Corporation, which is a firm that provides businesses of all sizes with IT consulting and remote PC support, please visit www.isutility.com. That's isutility.com. So thank you for being here, Yehuda. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you, Yehuda, for an informative interview. To find out more about Yehuda Kagan and Xvand Technology Corporation, which is a firm that provides businesses of all sizes with IT consulting and remote PC support, please visit www.isutility.com. That's isutility.com. So thank you for being here, Yehuda. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, great. This podcast...
It's our pleasure. Thank you, too. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.